Turn in God's Word now to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And we'll be reading Numbers 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, verse 24. Let's first go to the Lord in prayer. My gracious Father, again we come seeking Your face and praising You that You speak to us. What a gracious mercy that You pour out upon us in speaking to us. And let us not take it for granted. But the words that come forth, we pray that You would cause us to hear with faith, that we would receive them in our hearts, that we would obey them and submit unto You in all things, following after Your Son, Jesus Christ, faithfully, according to the Holy Spirit that You've put within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Numbers 14 and verse 24, these are God's words. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Those are God's words. Now we come to this text as a close to and a response to the Lord's Supper. And Numbers 14 gives the account of Israel murmuring against the Lord, including their unbelief, in which he swears in his wrath that his covenant people would not enter into his rest. All that we've been hearing in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. We hear in Psalm 95 the same thing. If you go back, you can see in this passage, this chapter, verse 1, Israel exclaims, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. They were sincere, weren't they? The whole congregation cried and wept and murmured against the Lord. Joshua, verses 6 and 7, Joshua tries to convince the people that the land they're going to is an exceedingly great land. And yet the congregation tried to stone them, Joshua and Caleb. They tried to stone them. What sin and hardness of heart by Israel. And so Jehovah comes, verse 12. It says, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And further clarified, verse 16, that they would be slain in the wilderness. They would not make it to the promised land. Well, Moses, again, as mediator, pleads for them. Remember who you are, Lord, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And then verse 19, pardon. Pardon the people as you have done previously, Jehovah. So verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The Lord blessed Israel throughout that wilderness through many struggles. The wilderness which foreshadows our lives here as Christians before we enter into glory into heaven. Egypt. Egypt still today foreshadowing slavery to sin and being brought by the Lord alone, redeeming us out of Egypt, points to our redemption in Christ. And it isn't as though Jehovah is destroying all this people at once. He is justly displeased with them. That the whole congregation of murmurers are being cut off and not entering the promised land because they have not done this once. He says 10 times. You know what that picture is, beloved. It's the picture of that promised land, that is. It's the picture of the professing, redeemed, covenant people of God not entering heaven because of their continued grumbling and anger against Jehovah, who has been nothing and done nothing but love them and provided for them and protected them. There is a possibility, beloved, that there is that you have coming into the church and lived in the church and been a part of the church and could, just as we have been hearing in Hebrews, of hardening your hearts to Jehovah and He responding, "You shall not enter my rest." You're a member of the church, but He could say this to you, "You shall not enter my rest." Now, this is not a question of losing one's salvation. This has to do with living for the Lord alone, period. So when we have come to the table and we've turned our hearts to the Redeemer Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from slavery to sin, from that, we have two options: to then act like Israel and grumble and complain against Jehovah and the struggles that our life will be and is, or like Caleb, who is here, promised and will receive his eternal inheritance. There's only two options. You can be like the rest of Israel, or you can be like Caleb. You remember the account in the chapter before this of the 12 spies going up into the land, yet only two of the 12 spies were faithful to Jehovah and their nation, their country. 10 of them brought an ill report and based on fear and dishonored the Lord and brought ruin upon themselves and the rest of the congregation. And who is Caleb but God's servant? And honor is put upon him for remaining faithful, along with Joshua. Verse 24, Caleb, who is God's servant, who brought honor upon the Lord. Also it says, compared to the Israelites who fell in the wilderness, he had another spirit with him. He had another spirit with him. He had a different spirit than the world. He had a humble and obedient spirit to the Lord. Not a rebellious spirit like Israel against Jehovah. A different spirit from that of Israel. Different than the spies. He had a spirit from heaven to do the work he was appointed to. And the Holy Spirit encouraged him with courage to do this and keep this, while the rest were misled to fear men. He saw the high walls of the city when he went in, the cities, Jericho, Bethel, all the other cities. He saw the Anakim who were there, the very tall, mighty warriors, but he did not fear them. He knew the Lord was mightier and greater than they were. Threatened with being stoned by the congregation, and as we recapped here in chapter 14, but he would not yield. Because Caleb remained faithful to Jehovah, he was rewarded unto a greater faithfulness and steadiness in the faith, that he would possess the good land, while the rest of the congregation, besides Joshua, would all fall in the wilderness for being unfaithful. And so the question, as we come from partaking of the Lord's Supper, is, which would you like to be, beloved? Wouldn't you want to be rewarded? And therefore, if that is true, then we must pursue faithfulness now to the Lord, having come to His table, not lifting up our heels like Judas to our familiar friend, but living faithfully for our Savior to the Lord. Piety, beloved, is the best policy. If you are careful of God's honor, He will see to your blessing. And so Caleb teaches us that it's not himself, but God who brings success and blessing. So what about us? What do we learn from Caleb? Our first, beloved, the first point this evening, all true servants of Christ must follow the Lord fully. Follow the Lord fully. What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? It is to follow Jehovah only as our great guide and leader. Hebrews 12 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you don't follow the Lord only, then you do not follow Him fully. If your heart is divided, then you will not follow fully the Lord. If you're going after the Lord and then going after idols, then you're split, you're divided. The Lord wants your whole man, the whole woman, the whole child. And so your soul must cease today from following all others who do not lead you to submit to Jehovah, but rather contradict Him. Who are those in your lives? And what are those things in your lives that lead you to contradict the Lord and be unsubmissive to the Lord? We have eaten the gospel in the Lord's Supper and must now set out on a journey again of the Christian life to remain faithful to the Lord. And there are two paths to take. There's the wide and the narrow. And there are, in the way of the Christian life, on the narrow path, sometimes false guides who cry out, "Follow them." But if they're false, we cannot follow them. Proverbs 28 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." You remember in Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit," who walk not after the flesh. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're not under condemnation forever, then you walk not after the flesh, but you follow the Lord fully, walking after the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul warns, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men, but be not ye servants of the serpent," Satan. "Be not ye servants of the flesh either." Follow the Lord fully. Be servants of Him. And just like Caleb, your soul must be courageous to follow the Lord in opposition to everyone else. When everyone else comes against you, follow the Lord fully. Do not exchange the living God for idols. Right? Jeremiah 2 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." The world, the flesh, and the devil make many offers to you. God makes one. "I will be thy God." And He points you to His eternal rest, the city where you might abide. And He points out the way into that eternal rest, and it's by following the Lord fully. Right? He says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so will you choose the way of truth in Christ alone? Choose the way of truth and follow the Lord fully. He goes before us, and so we must follow His steps, in His steps, fully. Not some false guide, but we are to be ye holy as He is holy. Right? He says in Peter, "He that saith he abideth in Him," 1 John 2, "he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked," as Christ walked. And so, follow the Lord fully is to follow Him universally. It is to follow the great guide and leader only, but it is also to follow the Lord universally. Psalm 119 says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." All of the Lord's commandments. You are to follow the Lord fully, then you must follow Him in all things, in all times, in all places, with all your souls, no exceptions, no matter if people come to stone you and try to put you to death. No matter if Christians come and start rebuking you, you follow Him. No exceptions. It's written. It is sufficient for Jesus. It is sufficient, therefore, for us. Who of you is on the Lord's side? Who? It is time for the people of God to take courage and to take up the Lord's side and cleave unto Him alone. Not to man, but to God alone. We've mentioned many times where this begins. It begins in worship. It begins in growing in doctrine by faith, in our hearts, in prayer, But we must follow the Lord so fully that not one thing would be lacking. And thirdly, in this first point, follow Him uprightly. We follow Him only. We follow Him universally. We follow Him uprightly. John 6 again. It says, John answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Now there is a selfish religion. This must not be our way, where self is chief, where self is king. And we, in that selfish religion, pursue selfish, carnal, fleshly ends. But to follow the Lord means to put off of ourselves, to go in His strength. Proclaiming, even like the psalmist, "I will go in the strength of the Lord." But so too, to follow the Lord fully is to follow Him constantly. Right? Follow the Lord only. Follow Him universally. Follow Him uprightly. Follow Him constantly. John 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We have to make a habit of following the Lord fully. You think of Rehoboam. After Solomon, Rehoboam, he did evil, it says, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord, so he failed as king. Our Lord said in Revelation 2, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Think of what Jesus said in Luke 9. Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." He looked back. The one who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Press forward and consistently, constantly follow Him. Hebrews 10, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him." That's what Israel did. They drew back from Him. And so we must follow the Lord fully as our guide and leader, universally, uprightly, and constantly. And so what sin is there in you that must be put to death? What of your right eye needs to be plucked out because you have regard for sin in your heart, in which the Lord will not hear you, in which you're not following Him fully? Where are you lacking in gospel duties? Are you praying? Are you reading God's Word? Remember, we went over our membership vows Wednesday evening and renewed them. Are you meditating upon God's Word? Are you attending upon worship morning and evening? Do you pray? Or maybe you pray but neglect watching. Remember, Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you too be tempted." Are you bearing your cross? All these things that Christ calls us to, are you following Him fully? And the second point this evening, that we're to follow the Lord fully. Secondly, you need another spirit. You need another spirit. And what this means is that you need another spirit contrary to the natural fleshly spirit of which you had in bondage to sin. You need another spirit sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The other natural spirit in bondage, even some hypocrites can have, because there are some common operations of the Holy Spirit that are brought out and shown about in the book of Hebrews. There are some in the church, like Israel, in the wilderness, who had those common operations of the Spirit. Right? They sat under God's Word. They heard it. They were blessed in many different ways because they sat with the church and fellowship with the people of God. But there's another spirit that we must have that goes above and beyond the common operations of the Spirit. The qualities of your fruit are wholly different. You have a new aim, new desires, new principles, and that moves you to a new life, all brought about by the working of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, in your soul. Right? Caleb's new spirit aimed at Canaan. and the promised land, aimed towards heaven and glory. The rest of the congregation was still aimed where? Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. And so you see the difference. What was in their heart compared to what was in Caleb's heart? So we ask the question, what's in your heart? Where is your heart aimed? Where is your spirit aimed at? Ahead to glory or behind to sin and slavery? The spirit you are to have must be a spirit aimed at heaven and glory ahead. And in that spirit, that is another spirit, you are to have a spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4 says, we having the same spirit of faith. In difficulties, Caleb took up the spirit of faith, looking to the Lord as sufficient. Our God is sufficient. Psalm 71, I will go in the strength of the Lord again. We need a new spirit of faith, beloved, as sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the third point, the reward of following the Lord fully. The reward of following the Lord fully. In the time of great trial, like Caleb went through here, he had to distinguish himself from the others because the 10 other spies came back with an ill report. But he had another spirit, and so it required him to distinguish himself. The ones who follow after the Lord fully. The Lord promises, him will I bring into the land wherein to he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb is rewarded and blessed. But Caleb is not the only example of this in Scripture. Of course, we know Joshua. We won't go into him this evening. We're hearing about him a lot recently. But Caleb, Joshua, they're not the only ones who are rewarded for distinguishing themselves as following after the Lord fully. Throughout the Scriptures, you think of Noah, Genesis 6. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God and called by God, having another spirit. Opposition came against him for obeying the Lord's call. And he did not waver, but obeyed, even though there was no hint of any flood. Right? Lot, often we look kind of down upon Lot. But Lot in 2 Peter 2, it talks about him in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Right? He was in the midst of a filthy people, homosexual people, sinful, wicked people. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Right? He saved Lot and rewarded him even because of his many being undergoing many temptations but upholding him. And why would these do this? Psalm 119 again, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Even if you are delivered over into the midst of remaining faithful to the Lord, and you're delivered over to suffering, he will uphold you. Matthew 10, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He rewards us with provision, special provision in the time of calamity. Psalm 37, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. So he provides a special provision. He rewards us with that if we follow him faithfully. He rewards us with special protection. Ezekiel 9, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. He puts a sign on their foreheads, and that to protect them from those abominations and those people. And at the end, beloved, he will give you the great reward of the crown of glory. Revelation 2. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death. Right? Be faithful fully to the Lord. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In the hand of God, if you would turn to Him and follow Him fully, you will not be a loser or the loser. Come and follow the Lord fully now. The times of purity of the gospel, the ordinances of the gospel are declining. And so now is the time that we have to come and follow Him fully. You must do it now because the Christian, the sufferings are coming and the persecutions are coming. Today is the day you have to follow Him fully. Today is the day you've fallen away from the Lord. Well, come back to Him then and follow Him fully. There's no better day. We had the Lord's Supper this morning. There's no better day to follow Him fully. When the world and many in the church are swimming downstream one way to their death, like Israel, the one who follows the Lord fully and faithfully must swim upstream. And it will be a struggle, but He will uphold you. Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That cannot be us. But let it not be you that. What an honor, the Lord, the love of the Lord and the honor of the Lord to know that He will honor you. That you will be rewarded if you follow Him fully. And what an encouragement to us in our duty as Christians. And so you have heard of this duty, which is the duty of all communicants who have come to His table. And if you follow Him fully, you will be brought safely to the promised land. For only those who endure to the end will be saved. Right? We have to go back and think of justification often as people in the Reformed Church. Because you ought to hear this. Only those who endure to the end will be saved. And so we have to put on faithfully following the Lord fully today. That we would be saved and endure to the end. And so He exhorts you. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's His promise. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your word again. We're thankful that You call us to be faithful, but we confess even now we are failures, we are sinners, and we are going to break Your commandments. And we are going to sin against You. So, Father, we pray that You would uphold us. We desire to faithfully follow You fully, completely, in every way. And yet we are so frail. And so, Father, grant us Your grace to obey You in these things, that Your name would be glorified and praised, that You would cause us to endure, that You would save us and bring us home and reward us according to Your promises. We are undeserving of all of it, yet we pray for Your grace and Your mercy upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.